and it's bigger than your life, but it's only what you're hearing. Do you still remember when the morning light has come?
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Trim Radio Network and Bare Knuckles with Jerry Hall, and I am a Lupusol, so welcome aboard, guys. We broadcast live all over the world. If you tune on in to Trim Radio Network, you can message us. You could call in 1-803-866-1667. And I got to tell you, the opinions expressed by our host, co-host, guest, myself, and others is not necessarily that of the Trim Radio Network, its owners, managers, or others. And any information shared by us is not to be considered to be used as advice. We inform, we don't advise. Great song right there. That's Play the Game, and that, of course, is by Kansas, covered under our BMI music license, 6105-1658. So anyway, Jerry, how are you?
Doing great tonight. We just had a good show just a few minutes ago with Catherine O'Neill. And now we're into politics. Boy, have we got some stuff to talk about tonight. Republicans are taking over this week. And now we're going to see if anything really rises to the surface.
It is going to be very, very interesting. Everything that's because now Congress changes over, like you said. Everything is going to start happening from there. You know, they just wrapped up their final assessment, I guess, of the January 6th insurrection. I found it very interesting. They didn't fill out any subpoenas.
Well, you know, what's interesting, because it was all bogus, you know, and now they're saying they're blaming Nancy Pelosi for inciting it, not Trump. That's the interesting thing. And so out of all this is coming up with so many variables that we're talking about. Like now they're talking about impeaching Biden. I think that's going to be a retaliatory action by Congress for what they did to Trump. I think they're going to do the exact same thing that the Democrats did to Trump. They're going to do to Biden.
Is that going to be worth it, though? I mean, here's my
thing.
At some point, I don't want to play the vengeance game anymore. I want to get things fixed, and we have so much to fix and not waste so much money again. But even though you're right, but here's the thing. Pelosi, she's gone. Okay?
Yeah.
So that's done. Pretty much what's happened now is I agree with you. I think that this was kind of, it's showing signs of a witch hunt. Again, this comes down to, if you remember what Adam Schiff said, well, you know, if the American people believe that, you know, you want to have this kind of a traitor in office, you know, or, you know, the evidence shows that. It's intent of the law and letter of the law. And here was the thing. There was nothing there versus letter of the law. So, yeah. These guys were all like, well, he's crooked and he's corrupt. And I'm thinking, well, gee, there's the pot calling the kettle black.
You know? That's an understatement.
Yeah, you know? I mean.
It's interesting, you know, to see, because I got to see a lot of this firsthand when I ran for Congress and really got to pull the curtain back on the wizard and found out how bogus, honestly, both parties are. You know, they're in it for money for themselves. That's all they care about. If they were interested in really taking care of America, they would fix America instead of all they're looking for is what I was told when I ran in 1996 by two congressmen who are now both out of office because of having to resign because of horrible things they did. And so, you know, what I learned back then, they told me this. They said, once you get to Washington, it's a fraternity. We're all brothers. There's 465 of us, and we're all brothers. So what we say behind closed doors doesn't get outside into the public, because we need to stir up trouble out in the public so we can get campaign contributions. So, you know, are they really there to get something done? They're there to get something done for themselves. You know, have we seen any really good things happen except for when Trump was in? Okay, now they're trying to assassinate him every which way they can. You know, they're just, you know, tell him that he hates America now. You know, I mean, it's just all this bogus stuff they're putting out there, trying to paint him as just this horrible person. And it's damaging the base. And when Trump has done nothing wrong.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't care how he runs his business. I'm in the business of seeing how do you run the country. Okay.
Right.
Understand something. I don't care about the rest of that, because we've seen too many other politicians do stuff that's really, really funky and everything else. And frankly, none of them have, in my opinion, a good footing as far as I'm concerned. I want to know which direction the country's going, and the country's not going in a good direction. It's not.
Well, that's the whole point. If you look at what Biden has done, killing the pipeline, you know, that was the stupidest thing he could have done, because now we have to pay additional for transporting the same oil by truck to the same location that pipeline would have done for pennies on the dollar.
Oh, yeah, he stepped in it on that. He stepped in it on a couple of things.
This new bill they just passed. Here's the ramifications from that. They said no one under the income of $400,000 a year is going to pay any more taxes. Well, guess what? We are, through the price increases that he's gouging. He's put this big tariff on fossil fuel and oil and gas. So guess what? We're paying more. That's down to the individual homeowner's level. That's going to see, they're talking about it going up as much as 4 times this next year for oil and gas.
Yeah, here's the thing that I have the problem with, especially with the EVs. Everyone wants to go towards the EVs. First of all, we don't have a whole platform set up for it. That's number one. Number two, we already have a car battery plant down here that polluted the grounds. What do you think that all these car batteries are going to do? We'll recycle them. Well, you guys said that about everything else. And you know what? It hasn't happened. It's polluted worse. So, and we don't even know what to expect, you know, with that. And we've raised, if you look at it, one more thing, we've raised our debt, our national debt to, it was like 3.1 to 3.7 trillion dollars. That's just a fact. You can look it up. It's on Google. And here we just did another, 1.7 trillion? Who's going to pay for that?
All on the guise that it's going to stimulate the economy. That's not going to stimulate the economy. What stimulates the economy is reducing interest rates. And that's not happening. They keep increasing it, and they're talking about 3 more increases. That's going to devastate the stock market and everyone's 401k for years. And that's what we're hoping to stop with the Republican come in. But I guarantee you, it's not going to happen. The Republicans and the Democrats are pretty much identically the same. It's all about how much money they can form for their own selves. How much can they get in their pockets, and how much can they benefit from it?
Yeah, you're never going to know the full amount of pork that is added onto these bills. You know, you'll find out about it later. You know,
what makes me mad is we can send billions of dollars to Ukraine, but in Louisiana, there's a water system down there where they can't even drink the water, which needs $1 billion to fix it. So no, we're taking the money and sending it outside the country to people that don't impact our lives. The only people they impact is Joe Biden's pocket. That's it. I think what's happened and why we're giving so much money to Ukraine is because Joe Biden's getting blackmailed by the president of Ukraine because of all the illegal deals he and his son have done over there.
Well, I think, you know, he pulled us out of Afghanistan in a terrible way. I didn't like how that happened. And he said, well, you got to know when to get out. Are we not in that same situation here? When exactly do we get out of Ukraine? When?
Right. We shouldn't be in there in the first place. That guy, if he had a brain in his head, all he's doing is this. He is making himself a multi-billionaire. That's all he's doing. That's all he cares about. He doesn't care about the country, because if he cared about the country and saving the country, he would have brokered a negotiation with Russia and said, let's work together and come up with a solution. And then Russia would have gone and said, okay, kill these biochemical labs that you're doing and stop the child trafficking, and we can cut a deal. But he didn't do that. He didn't do either one of those things. He's still sex trafficking, child trafficking, and now he's got the excuse of saying that Russia is taking the children, when he's actually doing. So if you look at that, you know, we look at, and then Biden's son is involved in that escapade over there too, making tons of money. And you think that $1 billion isn't getting, some of it's coming back, funneling back to his son and subsequently back to Biden?
You know, it's a mess. And I don't have enough knowledge on that part to where I know all I know how I feel about it all. But, you know, now we're having a problem with China and you know, what, Taiwan and everything else. And I mean, exactly how many different skirmishes are we supposed to handle and for what reasons? That Nancy Pelosi had no business going over there. It wasn't common. No one had been over there in God knows how long, and we did a posturing, and we shouldn't have done that, and she did it because of her ego, and, oh, we're in it to, you know, let them know that we're behind them, and what? In what?
Well, that's the problem. We're not behind her, you know, and all she was trying to do is, you know, if you look at the logic behind anything, all she was trying to do is get publicity for herself and stir up trouble with China to potentially start a war, which would give her an opportunity to invest in military equipment. I guarantee you she's
computer chips. Remember, yeah. It's coming down to computer chips. It's coming down to all that stuff. So where is the interest there? Is it really with the people there or whatever? That's why I said, I don't want to be ever called a constituent, because to me, it might as well just put a number on me. It makes me feel less of a human being to be called a constituent. I am not your constituent. I am the person that you're supposed to be representing. And if you're not going to do that and refer to me in that way, you know, then you're not in it for me. You're not in it for me.
You know what makes me mad? There is a law that says we're supposed to remove from office anybody that doesn't keep the oath of office. And every one of the people that has been on the Democrats and the president and the vice president swore to protect our country from foreign and domestic terrorists. And they're not doing that.
No, we
so therefore, they're breaking their oath, and they should be pulled out of office for that.
You know, you're supposed to be able to question your representatives, and you're supposed to be able to question those people, and it's never come to fruition. You can't even get a hold of those people. How many times have you tried to call somebody and ever ended up with them? You know what I got? I got an email. I tried to talk to one person about something that was very important. And, you know, whether the rest of the audience thinks it's important or not, but it was something that I said, hey, listen, this should be a red flag here. And it had to do with the housing. And I got nothing. Nothing.
Well, see, and that's the problem. I've got two friends in Washington that I've known one for 30 years and one for a few years. And I still have their ears. And my son and I went up to Washington and we had a meeting with them. And they said, you're the first people that we've allowed to see us since the election. And I went, really? And that was election of 2000 and, you know, 2 years ago. And so we were walking around the congressional building and there was nobody there. We stayed in a hotel close to the Capitol for $100 a night, which is unheard of. I mean, it was empty, completely empty. The city was empty and the congressional offices were not allowing anybody to come in. And, you know, they used the excuse, the government was saying you can't come in there because of COVID, but that really wasn't the issue. They weren't getting anything done and they weren't doing anything and they aren't still doing anything. Think about, okay, what promises did Joe Biden make that were huge? Okay, the college loan repayment. That was huge.
Which he didn't have any right to do.
No, exactly. And guess what? He did that to entice the millennials, the stupid millennials, to vote for him. And they did in masses. They came out and said, you know, you're going to get our college loans repaid. Oh, this is great. We're going to vote for you. Guess what? He just stepped on their necks.
Well, yeah, I got shut down real quick, you know, and it's the same thing with everything that they do. And, you know, they tell you they're going to do this thing and then they want to try to find a way around the law. And that's the thing. How can we change the law to our benefit?
When you got lawyers running the country, what do you think they're going to do? They're making the laws so they can benefit themselves when they come out of office. And now they're talking about Marjorie Greene and Matt Gaetz are talking about. Now, Matt Gaetz is in Florida and Marjorie Greene's in Georgia. They're talking about impeaching Joe Biden right now because of all of his little escapades that he's been involved in. And now it's gaining, before it was just, you know, noise. Now it's gaining momentum. But the problem is, if we impeach him, guess who we're going to get? Kamala Harris. Yeah, we might as well shoot ourselves right now and get it over with.
Well, I think it's funny that the Twitter files and everything were actually scrubbed regarding Hunter's, involvement. That to me. But I'm curious to see whether Elon Musk will, throw that out there. Let's find out.
He's doing that little by little, and it's definitely having an impact. You know, Biden's going to be under investigation. I can promise you that. Only from the standpoint, just simply because the Republicans want to do a tit for tat. You impeached our president, we're going to impeach you. And now the latest is throwing something else out. You heard about the only Republican in New York, is getting nailed. This George Santos.
Yeah, I saw that.
He's getting just beat mercifully. But the problem is, he did embellish his resume way too much. Now he's got a magnifying glass on him for everything he's done. And so now he's got all these other issues that probably will affect him. And of course, everybody's going, now we need to investigate this guy. Had to use during two sentences when he claimed that education and Department of Energy, Perry forgot one of these. However, I was reading, Governor Perry is an old friend of mine. He was the head of the EPA for a while under Trump. And so I don't know if he's still there or not, but he's commenting on this guy's, resume. And so, we'll see what happens with him. But they don't want another Republican in office because if they can get him out, that dwindles our majority and can affect us in the long run over a whole. But you look at all the stuff that's going on. I mean, you wonder on a daily basis how the press is just brutally mortifying, meeting, just beating everybody to death. Now, apparently McCarthy can't get his votes that he needs for speaker, which is going to happen. If that happens, then Congress can't do anything until a speaker is appointed. Did you know that?
Yes. Yeah. So now they got to find somebody.
The first time that happened was like in 1933, where it took 2.5 months to get anything done.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole goal. This is going to be a show.
Without a doubt. And I love this. Hey, are you invested in Bitcoin?
Yeah, not me.
I tried to tell so many friends of mine, I said, how can you invest in something that has no asset backing it? It's imaginary. And sure enough, FTX goes bankrupt and all these people are screwed.
Yeah, where'd all the money go that they put into it, right? Yeah, right. Because it's not a tangible asset. And this is where I have a problem with this digital problem is that if you make the wrong person mad, how do you know that they won't just shut you off? I mean, think about it. It's, let's say you go ahead, they change everything over to a digital currency. Let's just go ahead and say that. Oh, well, we made an error. You have nothing in your account. If you're not siding or agreeing with us, you have nothing in your account, or maybe it runs fine for you, but I'm just saying, I don't like it. It's a little higher form of fiat. Fiat currency, people don't understand, is based off of consumer confidence. That's it. That's all it's based off of. When you had gold and silver, when your dollar bills used to say, this is, here you go. You could turn this in for gold or for silver. It was a tangible asset. Now you don't have that. There's nothing. There's nothing.
Well, and these people thought, oh, I'm going to get rich beyond belief. I talked to a young guy the other day, a waiter at a restaurant. He goes, with my assets, and my investments, I'm going to have $25 million. And I guarantee you, he's thinking he's invested in Bitcoin and it's going to be worth $25 million when he's ready to retire. It's going to be worth diddly squat and he's going to be home.
Yeah. I don't agree with it. I don't like how it's going. I think this is the biggest mistake that we can make. And I don't like it. I don't like it. Not one bit. I think it's a mistake. Go back to gold, palladium, platinum, silver, stuff that we know that we have. And if we don't have enough to cover, then that should tell you that we need to reduce our debt. It's that simple.
Yeah, that's the problem. You know, we haven't been solvent since Governor or President, what's his name? I can't even think of it now. Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan made us solvent. That was the first time. And then after that, then the Democrats got in and made us insolvent. And then it just kept spiraling out of control.
Yeah, it's not going to go back. And just when I thought, you know, whether you like the guy or not, when Trump was in there, I thought, wow, now we're headed in the right direction. You know, the country was doing well. The stock market was doing well. Inflation was fine. Interest rates were great. The country is believing in everything else. And no, it's going too smooth. We must wreck it.
Well, you know, it's we have seen throughout, you know, I mean, over the last, you know, when I was running for Congress, I got to meet a lot of these people. And, you know, I gave them really great ideas. Like one of the ideas I wanted to promote was that, okay, we all hear that Medicare is going bankrupt. But do you ever hear welfare is going bankrupt? Not at all.
No, but you don't know Social Security. It's in trouble.
We don't want to talk about that. You know, we just don't want to talk about that issue. Welfare is financially doing stable. Why don't we take... So I came up with a simple plan. And I promoted it when I was running for office. And I also promoted it to one of the congressmen after I lost. I said, why don't we do this? Okay, welfare has... Okay, I was on a grand jury in Houston, Texas for 3 months. There were 13 grand juries convened every day. And we would meet and we would prosecute each one of us, each one of our committees, would prosecute 100 welfare cases a day. The total amount in Harris County alone for 1 year was $100 million in welfare fraud in one county in the United States. Now, imagine the multitude of that spread nationwide. Now, do they do anything about it? Let me tell you, one of the funniest things is Governor Rick Scott Senator Rick Scott from Florida made all of his money under welfare billing Medicare, excessive billing, and was prosecuted and got away with it and still became governor of Florida and then now is a senator from it. The fraud that he perpetrated on the welfare system. Oh. And that's still going on today. So anyway, my plan was to say, okay, here's the deal. People on welfare, you got 2 years to get off of it. Go get a job, whatever you have to do. And then at the end of 2 years, if you can't get a job realistically, then the federal government is going to hire you at minimum wage and teach you a profession. And at the end of 2 years, that contract expires, you're on the street and you got nothing, go get a job because you've got training now. And then that money, that the excessive money that they've been wasting on welfare could go into the Social Security system for the people that deserve it. Was that a good hit? That was a great idea. But nobody wants to address it because they don't want to touch it. Yeah. They don't want to touch welfare.
You know, South Carolina has this high unemployment rate, and they're saying the jobs are available. But if you really go and you dive into it, the jobs that they have, and you take a look at some of them, sure, it's McDonald's, it's Burger King, it's whatever. It's not a lot of high-paying jobs. And I think some people don't realize, okay, this is where education and everything does come into play. thank God I'm in a trade. Learn a trade. A trade is one of the best things that you can learn. And I'm only part-time. I can't do it full-time anymore. I'm just, you know, for me, it's, I'm handicapped now. So, you know, with my hands and everything. But a trade will take you farther a lot of times than a four-year degree. A lot of times. And it will, because, I mean, think about it. These guys that know a trade, from air conditioning to plumbing to all these different things, welding, soldering, these jobs pay well. They pay well.
Well, in Texas and in all the other states, a lot of people don't know this. They think, I teach mediation training. I teach you to become a mediator. And in Florida, it's got, Florida is the worst state to live in if you want to do a business, because they have so many regulations to do business in Florida. Like a prime example is, to be a mediator in Florida, you have to have a college degree, and then you have to take a course only approved by the state of Florida. Okay. So what does that stifle? Okay. Get this. In Florida, you have to have a college degree and a license to mow lawns. And that happened to a 14-year-old kid in Florida. He got turned in by his next-door neighbor for mowing his next-door neighbor's yard for $14 or $20. And the guy turned him in because he didn't have his license and he didn't have a college degree. And the state came after him. Fortunately, they backed off on him because so many people protested about it. But that's Florida. Okay, does that make you a better person because you don't have a college degree? No, not at all. Or because you have a college degree, doesn't mean diddly squat. You know, it's your knowledge and your experience. In Texas, you can become a mediator with no high school at all. One of my best students was a young girl who didn't even have high school diploma. I trained her to become a mediator. I helped her get a job with the Postal Service as a mediator. She turned that in and got her high school diploma, GED. Then she went on to college and got her college degree and then got a law degree from it. Now, if she had been in Florida, she could have never done that. It would have been impossible. In Texas, there are no stipulations other than you taking a 40-hour course, which means now a mediator in Texas or any other state but Florida can make anywhere between $1,295 to $6,000 a day. But in Florida, you have to have all this education, which doesn't mean squat. You can have an education being a plant horticulturist and still be a mediator, which is ludicrous. It'd be different if they said you have to have a law degree or something in that area, or legal training at least. But they don't do that. They just say college degree. Well, that's ridiculous.
Thank you.
And one of the things that happened years ago in Texas, same thing happened in Texas, and I fought it. I fought the bureaucracy because I said, okay, they said only attorneys can be mediators. So I went up to the state and they were getting ready to pass that statute. And I walked into them and I said, let me ask you this. Once you pass this legislation, what is going to be your punishment to the person that's mediating without a license? And they said, well, we'll fine them. And if it continue to that, then we can incarcerate them. And I said, oh, that's really good. I said, which one are you going to start off with, your minister or your preacher? Which one's going to prosecute them? Who's going to prosecute your school teachers? Which one of you guys is going to go out and file the first crime against your school teachers who every day mediate between students?
That's right.
And your Catholic, and your church, your ministers, they mediate between a husband and wife all the time. So where's that going to lead you in your future concept that only attorneys can be mediators? They dropped that whole concept. And then they tried to say, well, you have to have a college degree. And I argued that case too. I said, what makes a person so much better by a college degree that a regular person who has common sense can't do? The market will weed out the people that are no good, and the market will keep the people who are good. Leave it open. And so they went, okay, sounds good. So we got that passed in Texas, but Florida, I'm trying to battle it now because there's so many good people that don't need a college degree that are would be great mediators. But do they want to focus on that? Florida, you have to have a license to stand in the street and go to the bathroom.
Yeah. You know, and there's flip sides to everything. And I mean, there are. Prime example, you know, I'm a dental tech. Went to school for it and everything. Was in the Navy, was trained for it. Got my, my degree through the Navy, really. More of an association, I guess you could call it, than associate degree. But I passed all the courses and everything in the Navy. And here's the thing. I had the knowledge behind it. Today, you're scanning into a computer. Who can't do that? So anybody can do that. But do they have the knowledge behind it, to change things the way it should be on the computer screen or whatever? I mean, it kind of defeats the purpose of the people that did go to school, too, that trained in that thing. Now, you have to work under an RDT now, which is a registered dental technician. So, you know, which I had before, but now I work under Ellis. So, you know, I didn't need that again. And for me, you know, he has to take his 40 hours or whatever. I'm just kind of an employee now, you know. But it's like he knows. You come on in, you start doing model work. It's ridiculous. It used to be people train them right off of the street.
Well, you know, what we've gotten to is this superiority elimination concept. And it, you know, the perception is that someone that graduated from college is better than somebody that didn't. Well, I can tell you that's so wrong. When I was hiring people, they would come into me and I'd go, "Do you have a college degree?" And, you know, the people that didn't were very meek and mild and embarrassed. And those were the people I hired because they worked the hardest trying to prove themselves. And trying to show that I don't have a college degree because I can't afford it. I mean, my college degree cost me, I went to Purdue and I studied at Harvard and Pepperdine and University of Missouri at Kansas City. I mean, when I first started college, you know, now you'll know how old I am. You could go to college, tuition was $15 an hour.
What year was that?
1969. Oh. $15 a college credit hour, but $15 an hour. Gas prices were 15 cents a gallon back then. So $15 an hour was a lot of money back then. It's all relative now. Now I think I paid for Purdue, I paid $365 an hour. And Purdue's unique. It has, okay, every college normally is 120 hours to get your BS degree.
Right.
Well, Purdue is 180.
Oh.
So you're getting technically a master's degree based on the hours you're taking. So imagine to get a BS degree, 180 hours at $365 an hour.
Is that in literal arts?
That's in just a BS degree in anything.
Yep, liberal arts. Okay. Yep.
So you got 365 times 180. That's $65,000 right there. Not counting the interest you're going to pay on that.
Yeah.
Now, you want to get a master's degree? You're talking another 20 grand. Mm. And so, you know, and I wanted to go to a prestigious college. And, you know, is it worth it? Has it done anything for me? Nope. For me, none. It hasn't made me a better or worse person. It hasn't opened any doors for me. And I graduated magna cum laude. Does that make any difference? No. So, you know, a person is good as what they offer. And that doesn't mean I don't judge, you know, the best employees I had didn't have college degrees.
I met some people in my life that are absolutely wonderful, book smart people, but they are dumb as a rock.
Well, I'll give you a prime example. My sister had, I think, two masters and, you know, book learned smarter than a whip, dumb as a box of rock in common sense.
Right.
She called me up when she was leaving her job as a real estate agent in Puerto Rico and said, how do I get a job? I was like, what? You don't know how to apply for a job? You don't know how to write a resume or send a cover letter out? No, what do I do? I was like, there you go. An educated person that can't figure a way out of a wet paper bag.
Well, a lot of that is the school systems today. They're not teaching kids. You remember when we had shop class, metal class, wood class, science class, and we were blowing off rockets and everything. We were learning about propulsion. We were learning about everything. We, you know, and you were making stuff with your hands. You were doing things. I mean, we even had, you know, cooking classes and everything in high school.
We had vocational technical school. And I remember taking electronics in that school.
We had that too, yeah.
Okay, which would allow me to come out and be a TV repairman, which is what I did for a while. Because I, you know, I had a profession. And they taught auto mechanics. They taught cooking. They taught all kinds of trades. We don't do that anymore. We teach you to be a complete idiot. And then we go pass you because we don't want to disappoint you.
Yeah, ever since they got rid of all that stuff, I don't even know if they have home ec or any of that stuff anymore. But I know the kids have no concept of banking or anything else anymore. Pretty much, it's you're on the fly. And
well, you know, that's the hard part. These children out there are not getting common sense education. And then on top of it, they don't care whether they pass or not. They don't care.
Oh, no. They'll let kids fall through the cracks. Believe me, I've seen it. I know it. I've experienced it. They will let them fall through the cracks. And, you know, it used to be you cared at one point. Not anymore. Not today. Now it's a whole different agenda. If you look at the agendas today, I mean, what are we teaching our kids? I mean.
Well, the problem is it's gotten so expensive to live. The good old days when I was growing up, my mother stayed at home. My father went to work and we made enough money to live. You can't do that now. Both parents have to work, have to bring up an income so they can support their family. So subsequently, who suffers? The kids, because you don't have the time with the kids anymore.
Nope. They're in daycare and, you know, I'll tell you what, everything has changed so much. There is no mom and dad. You're not having home cooked meals. You're not doing that. Both parents are working so much. They're both exhausted. You know, like I said, you take away, there's like five things that you do and you can destroy a country in a heartbeat. Start with taking away faith.
Hope. Well, that's just it.
Yep. Hope and faith. And
when you take faith out of the makeup, you have destroyed America. And look at this. We can't have the Ten Commandments in the courtrooms anymore because of the woke society, of the atheist, the tail wagging the dog. Now, that's why DeSantis is becoming a hero in Florida, is because he's standing up for the values that we all once believed in. He's saying, we're not going to go for this woke or this critical race theory that says everybody, all white people are racist and hateful. He's not tolerating that. And that's what, and also he's standing up to Disney going to this woke environment and stopping them. And it's about time we had someone of value, of moral character, stand up for what America really is about. Why do you think DeSantis is becoming so popular?
Oh, I mean, you can see it. I mean, the chances now, you know, and I feel bad, but the chances of Trump getting elected again are slim to none. I just don't believe it'll happen. It's been pretty much character assassination and everything else. And some of it's his own doing. I mean, there's no question. He's just not a politician. He's a businessman. And I don't care about his own personal businesses. Like I said, I care about what is going on for the country and how is it benefiting us as a collective whole. And for whatever reason, that agenda was no good. So, you know, here we are, you know.
Well, you know, the problem is that Trump
will not be able to regroup from the press, because now his base is starting to believe what the press is saying. And he's just, you know, I feel so sorry for him. I can empathize with him a great deal, because when I ran for Congress, the same thing happened to me. I got attacked unmercifully with nothing but a bunch of lies. But guess what? Those lies are the ones that people believe. They don't believe the real character of the person. And so what Trump did is he fought back. I did the same thing. Big mistake. Okay, look what DeSantis is doing. Smart man. Trump came after him, started attacking him. And what did he say? Just noise. And it went away. It disappeared like overnight.
Well, and I think people are sick of this. And you remember Nancy Pelosi saying it. No one remembers it. Oh, the smear tactic, the end smear. That's what it was called, the end smear, where you form enough lies and everything else and you put it out there that soon enough it's believed. Doesn't matter if it's true or not, but it's believed. And it was called the end game, the end smear game or whatever. And there's a video on her talking about it. And I was just like appalled, thinking, you got a lot of audacity. That you can do this, not give a second thought about somebody. And they tried that with Kavanaugh, if you remember that.
Right.
And they were like, oh, yeah, you know, he did this to me at this. Couldn't remember the house, the street, the place, the city, nothing. And, you know, of course, that fell apart real quick. And I was just like, you know, this guy just got dragged through, was accused of all this stuff in front of his family to tear his family apart. Nobody cared. They did not care about his own family or anything else. They just wanted to attack him because they feared him that much. And I thought, wow, these people do this and they're elected in office. How can you trust people that would do that if they'd sell out another human being like that? What makes you think they won't sell you out?
Well, that's the problem. The problem is they... You know, they were after Trump no matter what he was going to do. I mean, he could not get a word in edgewise for them attacking him on him. You know, like it was unmerciful and, you know, unwarranted. And yet, you know, he just couldn't get away from it. He couldn't get away from the attack from, I mean, it was just unmerciful.
Well,
and that was...
I know that he tweeted stuff, and I know he did that, but that, you know, and I'm not going to... I can't condone anybody, but I understand his position. If after you get attacked so much, yeah, you want to fight back. I get that. I get that completely. But didn't Biden do the same thing? I remember the guy up in Michigan when he was at the auto plant, and the guy said, listen, man... We should be able to ask you these questions. You work for us. And he turned to that guy and said, you're full of SH,
I know.
Whatever. I don't work for you. And I'm thinking, well, yeah, yes, you do. And you should be able to answer those questions. If that's your answer, that you're full of whatever, and you can't answer the questions, then what are you doing running for office?
Exactly.
And then, you know, I mean, to me, if you don't have... That's where you're supposed to be able to approach them and ask them questions. And we're not able to do that anymore. We're not working. They're not working for us. We're working for them. That's the problem America has right now. And America hasn't, you want to talk woke? Start being able to ask these people that are supposed to represent you, that call you constituents, which I think is absolutely just, you want to say it's politically correct? I don't. I think it's an insult. And start asking them questions. If they can't answer those questions and give you logical answers, you have no business being there.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, it just, I don't know. That's just what we've accepted. And we're accepting everything. I mean, when they pass these bills and we're supposed to trust them to pass these bills, I think the American people should say, is that too much? Is this not enough? What is this going for? The American people should be able to vote on that stuff right away and say, no, this is too much. Let it go.
Well, but the problem is we're not allowed to do that. Yeah, that's the
problem. And there entails the whole problem. Nobody in this country made a decision on the deficit. You elected people who lied to us, who betrayed us, and garnered mistrust, and voted for these things, and now we have a problem. And it's a serious problem.
Right.
So how do we correct it? And they're like, well, you got to vote. Well, you know, we have enough voting mistrust because we keep changing the rules. They're changing the rules the way you want, redistricting and redrawing the battle lines for voting and stuff like that. That trust is broken. So how do we fix it?
Exactly. That's the problem.
I mean,
there is no way to complete to fix it, because none of these congressmen. Okay, what do they say? Try to get five people together to pick a place for lunch. You can't do it.
Yeah. So are we going to keep going farther and farther down the rabbit hole? Is the question?
Yes. Yes, without a doubt. So I mean, we're doomed, and there's no way out, because who wants to stand up and do the right thing? Have you found anybody yet?
I said it before, and of course, you know, when we talked about that, are there really any good people anymore in office? Are there?
No, they're not. They get corrupted by the money.
Yep.
Okay. You know, here you are. It's like anything. Somebody asked me the other day, would you take advantage of somebody for $1 million? And I said, no. They said, would you take advantage of somebody for $5 million? And I said, no. Would you take advantage for somebody for $100 million? Let me think about that one. See what I mean? Everybody's got a price. And Congress is the same way. These people are on the take, and they just want to know how much they can get.
You know, and how much is enough? That's really what it comes down to. How much is enough?
Well, that's a good question. How much is enough? How much is enough? I don't know. I don't know what a number is. You know, could I be bribed for $10 million? I don't know. I've not been in that situation. You don't know till somebody's sitting there waving the money in your face and you're looking at, oh gosh, I got to pay my car payment. I got to pay my rent. I got to pay my mortgage. I got to pay for my kids' tuition. You know, you start looking at that and you start thinking, well, you know, who's this really going to hurt?
It hurts you because you're selling your soul. And that's the way you have to look at it. And people don't look at it that way. You are selling your soul. Okay.
Yeah.
You just don't know it, but you're doing it.
But guess what? They don't care. It's the time and the moment. Okay. It's like if somebody said to you, if the devil came to you today, said, Michael, I want you to sell me your soul, but I'm not going to collect on it till way down the line. You know, till you're 80. So I'm going to give you all the things that you want in life, everything, give it all to you. And you get wealth, notoriety, publicity, all the things that you think is what valuable to you. And then the day of reckoning comes and Satan comes to you and goes, you know, I thought about our contract and I'm going to move that date up. Instead of waiting until you're 80, I'm going to change it to 35. So you got 1 year left to live before I call your cards. And what do you say? That's the problem. These people don't realize the day of reckoning may not be down the road 20 or 30 or 40 years. It may be tomorrow.
Right.
And that's the problem. These people don't realize the day of reckoning maybe sooner than they think, but they don't see that.
Well, that's there's a special little place for them.
Exactly.
There's a special little place.
Exactly. But, you know, it's you can't tell them that. Because, first of all, they don't believe that Day of Reckoning is ever going to happen. So they kind of go, it's not going to bother me. You know, that's down the road anyway. So
that goes back to what I told you. That's why when you take faith and hope away from a people, you have less than 46% of this country believe in God, believe in Christ God. Okay? And this is exactly why that happens. So now you start to think with your own conscience rather than the conscience that you were given and putting it on the line. There are things that scare me so much. One is doing right by God. I'm horrified if I don't, because I'm afraid to answer that. Can you imagine if God were right in front of these people right now, would they behave differently?
Well, but here's the problem, Michael. Half the people out there don't believe God's real, and that's the problem. They look at that's mumbo jumbo.
Yeah, smoke and mirrors.
You know, and the reality of it is, okay, it's just like this. Can you convince an atheist there's a God? You can't. And Newton did this very effectively to one of his friends who was an atheist. He created the solar system and with motors and all this stuff and made it actually rotate like planets do and had it in his office. And the atheist walked in one day and said, "Hey, that's pretty cool. Who made that?" And Newton said, "Nobody." He goes, "What do you mean? The gears and all the mechanism to make that work. Who did that?" "Nobody." And the atheist turned around and looked at him and said, "Did you make this?" He goes, "No, nobody made it. It just formed itself and created it. And there it is. Don't you believe that?" And the atheist got the message.
Right.
Got the message that there is an origin to everything.
That's right.
And somebody asked me the other day, they said, "Do you believe in the Big Bang Theory?" And I said, "I most assuredly do.
That's right.
I believe it wholeheartedly. I believe God clapped his hands and the Big Bang happened and God
there it
created
is.
The solar system and the people." And, you know, and you look at the majestic of our majesty, whatever, of our DNA. Every person has a unique DNA in the world.
Yeah, even twins.
Exactly. So you look at this and say, how could that possibly happen? How could that possibly happen that there is this unique characteristic that nobody created?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, we are out of time, Jerry.
Oh my gosh, I didn't realize it.
Yeah, it went by fast. But folks, I hope that you all tune in to us next week for Bare Knuckles. We're filling in for Angel Strong, and you have Jerry Hall and Lupusol. And I hope that you guys tune in with us. Anyway, Jerry, final thoughts?
Well, just, Michael, like we always say, have faith and keep your faith in God, because the Day of Reckoning will happen for all of us. And if we live our lives under the premise of doing good and following what Jesus did, then we will live a better life. And trust me, my life has been blessed for following and doing that a lot.
Absolutely. Have a little humbleness and a little fear is not bad. So,
well, you know, again, the biggest mistake a lot of people don't realize, it's like my son, real quickly, my son came to me and he goes, "Dad, I'm not getting any business." And I said, "Well, son, have you prayed to God for the business?" He goes, "Well, no, I haven't." And I said, "Did you read the Bible? It says, ask and thou shalt receive." And he goes, "Well, I didn't realize that." And I said, "It's in the Bible. Don't be afraid to ask." So he said, "Okay, I'm going to do that." So he prayed that night. The next morning, calls me up, goes, "Dad, you're not going to believe this. I got 5 new contracts this morning." And I said, who do you think is responsible for that?" And he goes, "It's because I prayed last night and I asked for it and I got it."
Ask and you shall receive.
Are you going to win the lottery? Who knows?
Now, remember, it's got to be for the right reasons. And
well, that's just it, you know. And I thought that if I won the lottery, I would go on a road trip and I would find needy people that are God-fearing and I would donate the money to them gradually throughout the United States and help people that really need help.
Yeah, I mean, how much is really enough? And I think that's what people need to start asking themselves. How much is enough? You know? And get right. That's what we need to do. Just get right. Anyway, guys, thanks for tuning in to Bare Knuckles on Trim Radio Network. We will catch you next Monday. And I'm not even going to get out of here with music. So we're just going to get out of here because we're at the end of our time. Jerry, always okay. An honor, sir, and a privilege. And I thank you.
Take care. You have a good evening. God bless you.
You too. Bye-bye, folks. Take care. God bless.